sends a message to Jeff that he didn't get any points by giving the vice president. It may help a little bit in the convention phase of things, in terms of his seeing that the vice president's in close view. Now, also, has some negatives to it, obviously, and maybe hiring the vice president as being as important as going so on. I think the risk is relatively slight. I think we're on the right side of that issue. I may be wrong, and if I am, and if there's too much black, you can still sign the name, as far as that's concerned. If they clean it up.
We'd like to prefer to not.
Well, we figured this would keep them from cleaning it up, probably, and it would come these bad bills and kill them at the same time. But that's what's been going on.
Good job.
And that letter you got from Smathers about the railroads and railroad mines,
I never saw it.
I know. But I told Smathers you'd seen it and told me to talk to him. I had him up in the office. And I said, now, there are three aspects to this. One is the bill itself, and I don't know very much about the bill, but I want your best offer. Two, I want to know what all those unions and all those railroads and all those transportation groups are going to do for the president. Third, I want to know what you Smathers are going to do for the president. And, oh God, he thrashed and moaned about all the reasons that he couldn't come out with this and that and the other thing. And I said, look, I'm sure you've got a lot of problems, and you know we've got a lot of problems. We've got problems with this bill. So why don't you go sleep on it and then come back at it with the very best offer you can make on all three aspects of this, and then we'll see where the hell we are. And he said, fine. He said, I like to do business that way, and got up and left. Now that was before, or that was yesterday. And we'll just see what happens at this point. But you may hear from Beebe or somebody that is squeezing hard. And
well, it's something he needs to do. He's fine.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake, he's got to do something anyway. He's got to be coming out for us.
Well, he said he will. And his son timing was this and that and his son and so on and so forth. And I said, well, you know, we've all got problems. But I want you to know that I had put that squeeze on him so that if you did hear from it, then at least you'll be aware of what was going on.
Good. Let me ask you one other thing, John. The Grumman M14.
Yes.
Any progress?
Yes. Rockwell's sitting down with the Grumman people tomorrow about subcontracts under the space shuttle as a direct result of Mitchell and Flanagan leaning on Rockwell, number one. Number two, we've arranged with Rush for them to keep Grumman alive on the F-14 by extending this contract that now exists on past the election in December. That can't be announced until the defense supplemental is passed in Congress.
Otherwise,
they'll put an amendment on it to try and block it.
Sure, they want to keep Grumman alive.
That's right. So, we know, and we both can't tell anybody this week, we'll be able to tell Rockefeller, say, next week, that we got Grumman's life saved.
Grumman
doesn't know yet. Although they've done a negotiation with Rush, they have every reason to be hopeful. But we're going to get bad stories until Rockwell actually makes a letter of commitment to them on the subcontract. Then we'll background that the administration stepped in and brought about subcontracts. We'll get the New York Post and the Daily News and all the papers up in there, Newsday, and get them in. Background about the Herculean efforts of the White House to
the president.
Yep.
First meeting.
Right.
Put it to me rather than Friday.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir. And that's underway, and I think we got it made, although what Rockwell might do is in the last three, then
I bet you've got to help us win the election.
That's right.
That's right. Cold turkey proposition.
I understand. But
right.
He sees it working the other direction. You know, he thinks we're here to help him most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it all goes good.
Food prices. Very interesting. I had a call just a little while ago, within an hour ago, from D.K. Johnson, who's the Cleaver family. He's with Connelly's big young cattle now.
I know my manager. Call him D.K.
Right. D.K. says that the price that packers are paying growers for cattle has dropped dramatically in the last week. The upshot of it is that the packers are going to get rich unless the government steps in and forces the packers to pass the saving law to the consumer. Well, I don't know. I say the information just an hour had, he got wind of this about a week ago, and began to notice it in their operation. He sent a guy all across the Southwest and up through the Midwest to check all the feedlots. And he says, there's no question of what has happened. And the reason that it's happened is that there's a surplus of cattle in there right now.
Right.
And that this will probably continue for 6 to 9 weeks in this condition. So he said, if you guys are on the ball and you drive those packers properly, you'd get the price of meat down right away.
Well, could we have somebody other than Schultz come in and brutalize the packers?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, Schultz is not a brutal man, is he?
Well, that's correct.
Well, am I incorrect?
I think you're exactly right.
No, want me to brutalize them? I wouldn't mind. Sons of bitches. They're greedy, selfish.
Well, you know, our friend Flanagan is considered artless and cruel and mean and nasty. We've got to turn him loose on us. Or, Rumsfeld, me, I don't know. We've got a lot of people around here. This is something we ought to start moving on the first thing in the morning.
All right. I think Flanagan, it's not in his field. He is, this is the kind of thing he could do, but he's an international. Now, you're on a domestic council. They know you've got a lot of stroke. You've got him in there, and you raise holy hell.
Okay.
Well, I'll do it as the president's agent that I am. God damn it, if necessary, I'll walk into that meeting and say, now, look, we've got a problem here, and we're going to have control.
Yep.
Unless you do something about this.
All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. Overnight,
I know who they are.
I'll get the list. We'll send the wires first thing in the morning. We'll have the meeting yet this week.
Good. Now, these are Packer titles.
Well, that's Cudahy and Wilson, that's with Swift, and Armour, and all that. So it's the buyers, and they're relatively few of them that buy whole carcasses.
Good bus.
Sure. Well, I'll talk to Buzz.
Yeah.
And find out what he knows. But as I say, it's just brand new.
Great.
And we'll get right into it. And
then we'll run. We want high publicity.
That's right.
In fact, we're browbeating them.
Yeah. And that there's $3 that can be passed along to the consumer of every 100. Three out of every 100. We can make a 3% improvement in the price of it.
I just want to get right. The improvement probably will go a little low, but not too long, remember. But the fact we fought the battle,
that's
noticed a hell of a long time.
Well, now, there's that. This guy Teeter shook me on this food price yesterday. I had him, and we talked a long time
ago.
And he's strong as paint on this.
Like Senator.
Yeah, and when he left, I was about ready to sign him for free. Just really had me the ropes out of that. Every day that goes by makes it one day too late to do something. Start pulling.
Maybe this is the right thing. Maybe we freeze right now.
Well, I think that we ought to set for ourselves the 10th of August as an absolute deadline for doing something to decide go or no go on a freeze. And if it's no go on a freeze, then what? Either something else that's better,
right?
Or do nothing, or whatever the immediate option is. But I don't like to see a slide into the convention. And the 14th starts the convention process with the platform and the rules and all that. And I think it would be a bad mistake for us to slide into that whole process, slide out the other end at the end of August, and then it's too late.
What about the freeze?
I watched the tape this morning of your announcing the original 90-day freeze. And it got me thinking that probably that's the way to do this. To impose a 90-day freeze on food prices at retail.
What's it do to the price?
I don't know what it does, and these are some of the questions that I've asked of economists, and I'm going to use our laughter with some of these guys out of the CDA,
yeah.
The guys in Georgia looking for it.
Yeah.
And see if I can find out. I honestly don't know. I suspect that it set the 10th as a deadline day for decision, so that you can act before the people start to gather in Miami Beach.
Gotcha.
Then, all the networks, all the press will be down there, and we begin to play off them with whatever you decide to do. And we use that as a sounding board. So, we'll bear it out unless we'll be back to it.
I would say in terms of the option of what to do, whether to go for a prime time, now, if I thought this could change. I wonder if we don't do it at a different case level, do it basically with the...
Let's put me at an Eastern press conference.
But you can't, a press conference is not an art, it's just not.
Okay.
The reason.
Oh, I appreciate that. But I'm thinking of, say, the 10th or 12th of August.
Even that.
Look
what's happened. This is the second. On the 9th, they designate the event. And got a wall around the town block. And by the time you get to the end of the week, your convention starts, you don't want to have a conference then. I know, if you do anything at 9th, if you did anything, I would just make an announcement. If I on prime time, I wouldn't have a press conference to cover other issues. Well, I'm just thinking of the prime time effect. Maybe this is something for a 7:30 thing. You know, where you're not quite at prime time. 7:30 gets half the audience. And what I mean is, I'm just wondering about the chinning it up to the, that emotional, well, crisis-like atmosphere.
The main purpose here
is to have an emotional crisis.
Is to have an identifiable event that gives a kick so that you're given credit for addressing the problem. There's a secondary effect, though, and that is that it's just going to take the fever off. Going to quit the escalation for next year. If you run September, October, November, basically.
Butts, I suppose, will squeal.
Butts will probably squeal, although he's enough of a politician to recognize, and you'll get a lot of backlash that this is a callous to the political maneuver and the power of the incumbency and all that bullshit.
Out of bullshit.
And,
nobody
will care.
I have no question about the country liking it.
That's right.
You get the store.
Well, let's pass the merits for the moment.
Well, let me say, John, as I told these guys, and we all agree, from a political standpoint, that's the best thing to do. If we do it early enough,
yep.
We can't do it 6 weeks before the election, so we could do it now. And it's not bad to say maybe a year after we did the other one,
yeah.
On August 15th, yeah. Crack it again.
Yeah.
Say we are, and the way I would do it, you're going to have a very positive speech there. We've had enormous success in our fight against inflation. We've cut it in half. I made a little talk to that effect. We've cut it in half. We're winning the battle. We've decontrolled this and that. There is one area in which there is a persistent, however, inflationary spiral. It hits every American home. It's in the breadbasket. And you simply cannot allow this anymore. Therefore, we're going to put a 90-day freeze on these prices. And then we'll work on supplies and work on other and so forth and so on. Now, the difficulty we have here is that in Schultz you have a very strong program of any further breaches. Yet, you just got to, I think you've got to realize that I couldn't agree more. I'm aware of the political system. By doing this, we remove virtually the only economic issue that's turned out. I don't think the unemployment issue is that much of a higher.
Well, let me get back to you. Within
try butts first. We've gotta see whether the agriculture department will write up the wall. As you know, everybody has told us, John, that please don't freeze everything.
Right.
But when I say everybody has told us, who has told us this?
Well.
The cattlemen, the farmers, processors.
Cattlemen, yeah.
Yeah. Do you lose them as a result of it? I don't think you do.
I don't know, but butts all the time. Butts all the time.
You won't lose them, you'll risk some of them, but Jesus Christ, the battle's gonna be won or lost in the big states.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be back. Bussing, you'll read that there's constitutional amendment that Google talked out of.
You know, I heard about that yesterday.
Palmer says that the reason he did that was that he lacked one vote to be able to get more fire time. And said, "God, that is not managed." I had him down, and I worked him over for an hour and a half. He's smart as hell, he's done a lot of reading, and he talks to cases and all that stuff. And how he did that. He just can't be budged.
Right.
But Palmer, he broke the ice. He knew he could get the constitutional amendment.
The Anderson vote.
He didn't get Anderson, but he got some other guys. Southerners. And rolled that out, and it's out. Now, he's not gonna call that to the floor. He can't for 7 days. And he's told Cook he's not gonna call it to the floor at least for 2 weeks.
Not at all.
During which time, he's gonna try and get the moratorium. Meantime, some liberals have begun calling out saying, "Jesus, we don't want that constitutional amendment. How can we help?" And so.
They don't wanna have to vote on it.
That's right. That's right. So, we're beginning to see a little.
But now, what are our interests again? When Cook mentioned it briefly yesterday, and I said, "Well, now, I don't want a bad, I prefer no bill of rights."
Right. Without anything happening. That's the best we can have. highly localized issue. I've asked him to define for me what he means by that. And,
Let's just put this, forget everything else, let's speak to the state of Michigan.
Alright.
It's critical.
Absolutely.
You're not gonna win Michigan without it.
You don't have to do one thing more than you've already done in Michigan for every single person in that state to know where you are in Preston.
Because you went up there.
Well, no, not just that, but because we've had the lawyers up there, because Milliken's helped us, and Griffin's raised hell, and there's just been a whole combination of things. And every congressman that's running up there, except the legal, has been saying this is the president's proposal and this and that. And it's gotten through. We have high saturation in the state of Michigan.
We'll keep it up.
And you'll go in there a few times and so forth. But, I don't think you have to be for a constitutional amendment in the state of Michigan.
But I don't have to be for it, but so, okay.
I think that's true. And then for your position to be a parent.
Yeah.
Anybody.
What we have to do is simply, and we've got the other kind of position to be against.
That's right.
It's four of us.
Now.
Our platform will be against it.
There's a variable. We very well may get rulings by circuit courts, and maybe even by Supreme Court, although I don't see how with a recess, they would come back and rule before the election. But circuit courts will be ruling between now and the election. Corpus Christi, Austin, Denver, very good, not that. Corpus Christi, Austin, Indianapolis. And we'll have to be in a position to respond to those. I don't know what they say. So we want to reserve the right to be for a constitutional amendment, if that seems to be an appropriate response.
Otherwise, it heats up.
Yeah. When it's gonna heat up is around the 15th of September.
Well, maybe the moratorium is still the best line.
Would be.
To act now.
Yeah.
Constitutional amendment. You say year two.
Right. Yeah. So I.
What is the good guy?
So, that's where we're going.
Anyway, coming back again to the, what you want, and try to, well, even if the House does vote again, then that's, if they will have done something, it's good.
Unless it lost.
It'll lose. And it shows the mark, then we just have to use the moratorium.
Yeah, but that weakens our progression. Because we've been pretty effective, I think, in saying,
We may have to
ultimately be for a constitutional amendment because the Congress won't adopt the other.
Okay.
That's a pretty good moderate position for you to be in. You're not going to the other. So it's a well good proposition.
You prefer to try to see if they did get a vote on.
I prefer that there was no vote on the constitutional amendment. And not
get the moratorium too.
Well, I don't think you get the moratorium before the convention. I don't know.
Well, not before the convention.
I don't know what
no
the time will be after the convention. There's no telling. Now, there's another wild card in this, and that is that House Labor and Education is fooling around with that other one. And they modified it, amended it, and changed it in a lot of different ways. And it's got that reopening provision, which is very attractive to the subject. If that comes rolling out, then you're going to have to take a qualified position on that. They will have cut a lot of your stuff out of it. But you can say, well, you know, as far as they've gone, that's fine. That's
and that day of the Senate, oh, and dies.
It's not horrible then.
My point is that by the Congress, though, the moratorium is not going to be passed. The Senate will never pass a moratorium.
I'm not so sure. Of the three, it has the only chance of getting through the Senate. It is better considered in the Senate than either of the other two.
It's a way to get them all off the hook.
That's right.
That's what they ought to say.
That's right. But the other two, clearly, now are not going to
inform them. There's indeed legal implication.
Water bill. Howard Baker came in today. We had a long session
for it.
Oh, God, is he for it? Well, his argument goes like this. He wants to talk to you about this. He says,
well, I'm not going to talk to him about
that. I know, but
he's just a candidate. He's never around with wine.
Well, here's what he says. He says, wants his kids to go swimming in the stream. And instead of spending your money to clean up the streams, you're spending it on the bombers and the guns. And he says it dramatizes needlessly the McGovern thesis. And we say, yeah, well, what about higher taxes? What about inflation? What about the big money and all that? He said, well, Muskie's afraid of the veto. And he says, I think that we can negotiate the price of this thing down. Weinberger says, what do you mean by down? I know he says 14 instead of 20 billion. Weinberger says, no dice, you have that kind of money. So Baker says, well, maybe you got to afford that kind of money because it's political poison. And so that was the way the discussion went. But he said, I got to talk to the president. The president made a terrible mistake on that. So the center of the question is this. I don't know if the president's going to get called out of town or something. Why don't you worry about it? So it's released your backstop. And then I'll see what the chances are.
You call it back. What a long talk about it.
Okay.
When did you come?
Well, this all just took place this afternoon. So,
I mean, when is Bill?
Oh, Bill. I don't know. I honestly don't know how. We had considered that it would probably come next week, but the way he talked today, maybe not.
But he knows he's been.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Mahon and some others would be the mighty fight in the House.
It's been,
yes.
But you told me that Bill was bad because of the president.
That's correct. Yes.
The
leverage is incredible. For every $1 billion we have to put in, the industry has to put in 20. It's just very tough.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, we can certainly make the case. Make it two different ways. Prior to the bill, but also on the taxes and inflation.
I'll end up with this sign everything. I mean, what I mean is how.
I understand. Well, bear in mind, I'm not urging you to sign this thing. I'm passing along.
Well, I know Baker is, of course, a very strong advocate of his environment field. He always had that. I understand that.
I'll see
no way to. It's bank spending, it's the money. This is an authorization.
Right. It's an authorization, right. But it also imposes very rigorous standards on this bill. And it authorizes the reimbursement of a lot of municipalities that have already built water purifying facilities. And we don't get anything for that one. They're already built. He says we've been very successful in neutralizing it. It was not an issue. There's nothing for McGovern to get his teeth into as of right now. But he says you're hanging and your head on the fire.
Well, let me suggest this. Why don't you do a little political check? I think this is the time you should get Scott for judgment. They love to be asked.
All right.
I'd say that the president said that this is the hour because we're in the political season, or we're not interested in how much of political judgment in Scotland and if he thought he's the thing second. Can't be sustained. If it can't be sustained, then we should make an effort to reduce the cost of consumption.
Well, I suppose so. I suppose.
In other words, 14 better than 20.
More you reduce the cost, the less clear cut the veto is.
I meant we're going to sign it. We get it. We go to a signing strategy. We're black held and clean.
I get it. I thought you meant if we're going to roll it.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
We get rolled.
Yeah.
I don't want to do something that gets rolled on.
I get you.
I just don't see that. That is the word to vote for at this point.
Supreme Court prostitute at the start of his study and misconstrued for the purpose of rationalizing the imposition of racial mix, which is pretty good stuff.
Coleman, at least, is a scholar. He's an eminent guy. Will he stay out of the damn